Yeah, it's a plane. It's a bird. It's a plane. No.
It's Superman! Okay, should we wait for
it? Okay, I think it's gone.
Let's do it again. Hello, welcome to Amateur Podcast. I'm your host, Atia, and with me here is...
Nico, I'm Nico.
Do you know what a corporate friendship breakup is?
No.
Oh my god,
oh my
okay.
God, I don't know.
So, there's this thing that went viral on the interwebs that this therapist, she was giving advice on her TikTok on how to break up with a friend. And it got a lot of heat. I'm gonna just read it to you verbatim what she told people to do, okay?
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna say anything. I want your like honest opinions because I have opinions about it.
What's funny is that I actually asked my therapist years ago how to break up with my friend group, and I did the opposite of what she told me to do because I'm a hothead.
Great. The video was called How to Break Up with a Friend. Your friend will be like, hey, I've noticed you have been withdrawn and don't want to hang out recently. What's going on? And this is how you're supposed to respond up according to this therapist. I've treasured our season of friendship, but we're moving in different directions in life. I don't have the capacity to invest in our friendship any longer. Your friend, is there something I did? This feels really sudden. You. I get that this might be hard to understand, but I've been reevaluating many areas of my life recently, including my ability to be a good friend to you. I just want to be honest and upfront so I don't disappoint your expectations. I'm sorry if this feels painful and confusing. I wish you all the love and success.
Oh my God. My therapist told me just to slow fade.
Which normal people do.
Just exactly what normal people do.
So
this is full of therapy speak. This is awful.
People
oh
are
God.
Like, damn, like at that point just ghost me.
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
Well, here, I'm going to first tell you what people are saying, right? People are like, this is like, and this is my perspective as somebody who is not a mental health professional, just a person.
Uh-huh.
This is people are calling this corporate friendship breakup, right? How like HR breaks up with you. I've enjoyed your season of employment, but looks like you're not useful to us anymore and we don't want to pay you. I have reevaluated our budget and it looks like you're getting let go.
Oh my God.
That's what it is. So this person is telling her millions and millions of fans or followers to break up with their friend of however many years long in the corporate speak, I guess.
It's just so prescriptive, right? The language. It's not like authentic.
If you ever came up to me and you're like, I've enjoyed our season of friendship, I would be like, first of all, I'll cuss you up. I'm like, you wasted my time. You're not allowed on the podcast ever again. And I don't care if I ate all your food at your home.
You know, so when I was, you know, and it's normal. You outgrow your friendships or sometimes you realize that your friends are toxic or like whatever. But when I was in like my early mid-20s, I basically realized that I didn't want to be friends with my group of friends anymore, that it wasn't really healthy for me. I didn't like the person I would become. I was too stressed. And I tried slow fading and it didn't work. I didn't slow fade. I was like, I'm gonna blow up this fucking bridge because I was impulsive and my frontal lobes weren't developed, so I was just like, you guys suck, I hate you, don't talk to me.
Well, on the other hand of things, I have been therapy spoken broken up to.
Oh no.
Corporate breakup, yes. With friendship that like, I mean, you know this person, but like friendship that like was years long and you like know my family and you know my friends and you know my whole life and we've had a very close relationship. We lived together. And to be like, I have basically enjoyed our season of friendship. I wish you well. You clearly don't wish me well if you like, and she won't even like, she texted all this to me. She didn't even like, wouldn't see me in person. She's like, for my peace.
Oh my God.
I do not want to meet in person. I was like, we've been friends for like 4 years. We live together. and you can't even give me the breakup that you would give your ex of like 1 month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so
who is this? Oh, don't tell
me. I'm not gonna tell you who this is.
No, not the friend. I know who the friend is.
I'm just saying, like, it's like as a recipient of it, right? It's very like jarring, and it's very, you're dehumanized.
Yes.
You're not a person to them. Like, oh, like for me, I'm like, wow, like I really love this person. Mm-hmm. And we've shared so many memories. So like clearly you've never felt that way, that I've seen you almost like as a family. Mm-hmm. And for you to break up with me as if you're breaking up with the wall, and it's very dehumanizing. And when I saw that, I was like, are people actually that selfish? And also, I'm from a different culture where this kind of thing doesn't work. And if you've seen like the recent show Beef, there's a part where they're like, this is the reason Western therapy doesn't work on Eastern minds. And I think that is very true. That is very that is accurate, because we just don't operate that way. I cannot go to my parents or my family and be like, when I was 16, you were doing toxic things. I don't know why white people do. I don't know. But I can't talk to them like that. They're going to literally be like, you're unappreciative. You literally, I moved to this country for you. You know, my parents didn't even go to school. We didn't have anything. They were war. What have you gone through, right? Doesn't work. It's just like a different environment. So for people to treat people like that is jarring to me. Like, I don't know if that is normal. Do people actually in America treat each other just as if like a corporate friendship? Is that real?
No, I think there's a rise in therapy speak, right?
Yeah.
And like NPR had a great article about this like phenomenon. And basically, I think what's happening is you have like the either people learn this language in therapy, right? Like because they're participating in therapy, or because we have like more therapists, like influencers who are using this language. And the truth is, it actually makes us less empathetic. In my case, I just got really mad and blew up. That's a very human thing to do.
I honestly think, I don't think it's people that are going therapy. I think it is therapy speak comes from influencers and I guess YouTubers, TikTokers, therapist influencers, other people just using words that they don't really understand, like words like toxic, narcissistic, gaslight. What are some of
I'll give you some of my favorites.
Okay.
Collective trauma. Trauma informed. I actually was watching Shrinking, which is a great like show. It's really funny. And what I like about it is like basically it like shows like the lives of therapists, but it's very comedic and like exaggerated, but it's funny. But you can tell that none of the writers are actually therapists, because when they tried to put in jargon, someone like said something about like, oh, I'm a trauma informed, like something. And I was like, that you don't know what that means. You don't know what trauma informed means. That's not what that means. You're putting a word in a sentence and you don't know what it means. So that's another one. Collective trauma informed, neural pathways. Alignment, misalignment, creating space, lending my nervous system. These are like phrases that kill me.
There has been a rise in influencer therapists recently. And I mean, there's two sides of this narrative, right? There is obviously, I think, a lot of people don't have access to a mental health care in general, right? And there was a time where I think there is some good to like people having access to just any type of knowledge about like anxiety or depression or and people used to do that on YouTube and like TED Talks and other things, right? And even your favorite celebrity talking about their mental health, it's very eye-opening, and it helps you be like, oh, I also go through this, and like humanize yourself, and you realize this is not something that you're alone in. But I think specifically in short form videos such as TikTok or TikTok influencers that are therapists, there's not enough time to be able to give therapy advice or even good advice. For me personally, it just feels like an influencer telling you just like therapy jargon that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
So what is your opinion about that?
Okay. I got 99 problems with therapy influencers. How long do I have? How many problems?
This is your podcast.
Okay, I'm gonna pop off. So, so one problem is this is all very new.
Yeah.
This is uncharted territory, right? We have, therapists have been in private practice for years. Mm-hmm. We have guidelines for how to act ethically while we run a business, because that's what a private practice mm-hmm. is. It's a business, right? So, for example, I am well within my right as a therapist in private practice to refuse to see a client who hasn't paid me, right? What is unethical is if I just cut off services and don't have a conversation with my client about payment, right? So we have guidelines for how to act. There's no guidelines for how to do this on, like, not online therapy, but like therapy influencer stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's fine when a therapist in private practice, like, uses social media to promote their private practice, mm-hmm. right? Or to promote their book. I think it makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Because you can promote your expertise to other therapists and who maybe will sign up for your trainings or whatever. But you can also, like, promote yourself and get clients. Mm-hmm. I've had clients tell me that, you know, they decided to choose me as their therapist because they saw my little webpage on the group practice website. So I think it's fine. I think general information is fine. Things like that people don't commonly know. Like, for example, did you know that depression in children looks different than depression in adults? So saying like, hey, if your child is having, you know, significant behavioral changes, like they're having more temper tantrums, they're more irritable, you know, they're not behaving like how they usually do, this could be a sign of like an internal struggle. You should go seek out professional help. My first issue is that a lot of these therapist influencers give general information mm-hmm. and it becomes gimmicky, and they don't say, please consult with a professional. Mm-hmm. This channel is not enough and it doesn't replace therapy. Yeah. They just go, come back for more.
And yeah. the reason I'm bringing this up on a pop culture podcast is because therapy speak has become a part of pop culture. And mm-hmm. Recently there was a video that on TikTok that went viral about a therapist who is LPCA,
which means she's mm-hmm. an associate. That means that she just graduated, just got her yeah. license, and is working towards her clinical hours and is still being supervised mm-hmm. by someone who already has the years and the hours in the field,
and she has thousands and thousands of followers, right? This is, yeah. And she made a video that got a lot of backlash because she made a video saying, this is how I'm a good therapist. And people came for her because she was like, well, I never eat junk food. I never eat anything that messes with the serotonin in my stomach. I make sure that I have enough money that I'm not needing clients so that I only get clients and use them for basically money.
I can't roll my eyes any harder right now.
I don't watch any trash TV because that's not good for my brain. So it came off as holier than thou. I am, and a lot of people are like, wow, this is the reason I don't seek therapy, because someone like you would judge me. Someone like you would judge me for eating fast food. And if that what therapy is, where it's like I have to stop eating fast food and I have to stop watching TV, then like I don't want to do that, because my life is probably already pretty hard, and for me that bag of Cheetos, I look forward to that. Okay.
Let me pause. To anyone listening who thinks that therapists are like this, let me just tell you, I love junk food. I'm a raccoon, okay? Like a client one time saw like sour Skittles wrappers and Takis wrappers like in my trash can. Okay. Like,
I've been a witness of this before. This is true.
My body is not a temple. I watch trash TV. Okay. I'm like, I can't count. So I'm not good with numbers or money. Okay. So like, there we go. So just know that we're human and we're messed up.
But
as well.
She has a lot of like followers and, views compared to somebody who is licensed for maybe 20 years or something, and they have more information, and this person has more influence on people who think, a lot of even minors that are watching her think like she's educated and licensed enough to help them. And the other thing she got in trouble for, and she says that this isn't really therapy, but she went on live and gave people advice
no
and didn't ask people's age and anything, and some of them were what I heard, that some of them were minor. I don't know if this is true or not, but she didn't really, she didn't inquire about their age or anything.
Oh my God.
And she was giving life advice, but she was like, but it's not therapy because she's just like talking to her followers. But you are a therapy account and you're giving life advice using your therapy tactics, right? Oh my God. And it's on live, so anyone can see it. So there's no confidentiality.
Stop. This is making me feel queasy. Like, I'm physically feeling ill, like, hearing about this.
Oh, my God. I'm not laughing because I'm laughing at you being queasy. It's just, like, your expression right now. People can't see it. Her hands are up in the air. She looks like she's crying.
This is problem 89 that I have with therapy influencers is that, look, guys, I don't know how to make a reel. I'm in charge of our Instagram and I don't do anything because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm naturally a lurker when I'm on social media. Okay. and so I don't know how to do these things. And I'm like the highest level of licensure you can get within social work practice. The problem is that a lot of the knowledge that comes from a newer therapist is really textbook or like manual. Mm-hmm. I clung to my manuals when I first started. And now as like a seasoned like therapist who's been practicing like almost 7 years, you know, I'm just like, nah, whatever. Like I'll read part of a manual and then like, you know, mix like different interventions. Like I'm just more confident in it. And so it's so you're actually not getting like seasoned or experienced like perspectives. You're just getting people who are newer to the field and who are feeling empowered or they're feeling really insecure, and so they're just kind of like,
yeah, or even
relying on this language.
So let's talk about online diagnosis of celebrities, right? So the one I sent you, this person, what I'm pretty sure when I first started seeing their videos, they had just gotten their undergrad degree and now they have a master's too. So,
do they just hand out like master's degree to anyone these days?
I'm not in charge of that. I'm sorry. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I've seen this person on TikTok diagnosing, have like hours and like hours of footage of like diagnosing the Kardashians about which one is a narcissist, which one has some kind of syndrome, why does Khloe go back to Tristan because she's this and this, why is there was a video of Kendall Jenner skipping a line and she's like, oh, she's a narcissist and because she doesn't care about other people.
I skip lines all the time.
Well, according to this person, you are a narcissist. I'm like,
what are you going to say to me? What are you going to do?
And so stuff like that, right? Like, you don't know these people. How ethical is this? And then a lot of the people, that's the other thing. I mean, I know a little bit more because, A, I go to therapy on the regular now. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot more now. Also, you are my family, so I get to learn a lot of things. But if I didn't have those things, I don't know what these letters mean. I don't know what LPCA is. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I don't know what's the difference between a license and a master. And like, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that.
No.
They're like, oh, you have a degree in this. You must know what you're talking about.
No.
They're not going around and be like, oh, what's your license? How many years have you had? People just don't have that knowledge. The knowledge of mental health care in this country is already so poor and there's no access. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, asking people to do their own research about like I had it in my bio, blah, 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 blah. But it's still misleading because you have the amount of followers you have. I don't know. I don't understand what the ethics are behind that.
I need to take a deep breath. I'm so sorry. Because this is so upsetting.
You're so dramatic.
I'm not dramatic. I'm just like
I just want to, it's like a painting, like a woman in distress. She has her hand on her forehead in a fist and like just looking down on the ground and breathing heavily.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. So, problem number 53 I have with therapy influencers. The obsession with diagnosing. Mm-hmm. Do you know how me and other therapists in the practice I work for, we've seen an uptick of clients coming in convinced that they have an obscure mental health diagnosis because they saw TikTok video. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, like, I don't think you have this. Mm-hmm. There's a process for this. Like, no, I just need this diagnosis. I'm like, I don't think, I mean, it's so hard to talk them down from it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, diagnosing is not just like willy-nilly, let's just crack open the manual and like check off symptoms. If it was that easy, why would I need a master's degree and over like 1,000 hours during my master's degree and a class and being supervised when I graduate? I mean, like, and taking an exam to do it, right?
And also, I'm assuming that these younger therapists that are still going through their supervision, the people that are supervising them are obviously older, so they yeah. might not even know how to supervise their social media.
Yeah.
Like, you might not understand what TikTok is.
I don't understand what TikTok is.
And you're not that old. I'm first not that of all, old. Let's just get that out of you. You're not yeah, that old.
I'm 31.
But, I mean, people who are supervising, they might be, who knows, like, how old, and they don't understand how to supervise your ethics while you're using social media. And I've seen some, what I saw, like, some influencers were talking about how when they have their clients, so they share like stories of their clients, but they don't name their names, but they have informed consent. They basically say, oh yeah, you can use my what we go through here on TikTok to show other people, right, that it's okay to go through this or whatever. But for me, I'm like, not to say everybody that is going to therapy is going through a mental health crisis, but I was. I mean, I was, and I think a lot of people go through this where until you really hit a rock bottom, you don't really go to therapy. And yeah. that was my case. Like, mm-hmm. I was literally rock bottom. And mm-hmm. I went to the point where when they do your interview, right? My therapist was literally just like concerned about me. And this was the first time we met, right? Like, it was yeah. just like, I don't know. This is my, like, the last option that I'm here. Because I, like, no, people just don't want, it's expensive.
Yeah.
It takes a lot from within you. Mm-hmm. You need therapy to go to therapy. Because you're like, you need that confidence to be like, yes, there's something really wrong and I need help.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of steps. So I'm just saying, if somebody is in that distressed state and they give you consent to share their, I don't want my personal trauma or like anything on the internet, and I probably wouldn't give consent. But what if like you're in that kind of state and you give consent to be used for millions of people that your story is being told on the internet, you know?
Totally unethical to diagnose public figures because of informed consent. They did not come to us for a diagnosis. You will never hear the words.
And uh-huh. Kylie Jenner actually found those videos and yeah. told this person that these make her really uncomfortable yes. and please stop. And she didn't. And she would respond to her, like the girl, like go at her more. So she blocked her. Kylie blocked her. And then she was like, see, like the Kardashians hate me because like, oh, I'm just telling the truth. Like that just shows that they're a narcissist. I'm like, dude, you're coming at her kids. You're coming at her family.
Yeah. And
she's
her.
On TikTok. You yeah. have millions of views. Of course she's going to see it.
Informed consent is everything in therapy treatment. And when I worked in a medical facility, you know, with doctors, with nurses, a lot of them had a hard time understanding why sometimes like we were just like, we're not going to see this patient. Mm-hmm. Because if the patient said, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to speak to a social worker or a therapist, like we had to respect that, even if they were like, you know, crying and upset, and like we had to respect it. Now it's different if they're going to hurt themselves, but you know, a lot of people don't get that, so that's why we don't diagnose.
But sometimes what I've seen is like, oh, this is for educational purposes.
No, it's not for education.
On the internet they're like, oh, we're going to use a celebrity, a public figure for educational
that's unethical purposes. And you should have your license revoked if you do that. Yeah. You know who you could use?
Fictional characters.
Mm. I had my students in my class that I teach do their multidimensional case analysis on fictional characters. And it was awesome. It was a great paper. Everyone came up like with really creative like people to do like their assessment on. But so fictional characters are okay. And you can do that for educational purposes. Sometimes you're wrong. I saw someone on Reddit be like, let's see if Azula from The Last Airbender meets criteria for antisocial personality disorder. And I'm like, you can't diagnose Azula with that because she's 14. You don't diagnose. Yeah. Anyways, so that's the first.
I like how you have a strong opinion about that
very
too.
Strong opinions. Okay. Even about fictional characters. I'm like, you're wrong. You're wrong. You could like, you know, so anyways, so fictional characters, that's educational. Public figures, that's unethical. Mm-hmm. And I think you should have your license revoked if you do that, because you clearly are not well, like, if you're doing it.
And there's a rise in this, right? Like, body language experts, like, read body language. Who are you? And then me, I have a degree in psychology, and I'll tell you what this, why this person does this, right? And it just has an icky vibe to it.
Totally icky.
I don't really, I don't understand how, and people don't know. A lot of people don't know that this is unethical. And they're like, wow, you're like a professional, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you're an unethical professional and you don't know what you're doing. So what was the second point you brought up? Oh, the informed consent, the people posting about their conversation. So here's the thing. Most people don't read the informed consent. So what I do...
I guess I didn't read everything on my...
Nope, you probably didn't.
I did not. I don't remember. So that's what I'm saying. I was in so much distress.
Yeah.
I don't even remember signing anything. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
At all.
So what I do, right, when we go have the first intake, what we call an intake appointment, it's like we get gather all the information. I tell people, one, this is just me getting more information and determining if I'm a good fit, like skill-wise. And also you can size me up and decide if you feel comfortable with me, right? So... We can get to the end of this and decide, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I did size up a lot of people, and some people, like, I don't know, you're just so vulnerable, first of all. And then some people, like, I don't know, this one person, I guess I shouldn't have asked this question or whatever.
What did you ask?
I was like, oh, like, how many people do you usually see? And
that's a fair question.
And she got offended.
Why? Why would she get offended?
I don't know. She's like, why would you ask that?
What a weirdo.
And I was like, oh, I just wanted to know, like, you know, some, because I've never been there, but I was like, I just don't know, like, if you're overworked or something, you know, I don't want to.
So how I would have responded to that would have been like, I see, you're concerned that if I'm overworked that I won't be able to help you.
Yeah, she didn't say that. That's at the core. I obviously did not go with her. But...
Yeah, because she was defensive and an idiot. Yeah. So basically, sorry, that's what I think.
I was like, oh, I just don't want to be like, because, for example, like, you know, the last therapy that I went before this was... our school would, like, have, like, you know, like, therapy sessions that are, like, that are free for people that are learning. And some of them, you don't get to see more than, like, 3 weeks. And some of them don't even know your name because they're seeing so many people and they're practicing, right? Whatever. So that's why I was asking that. But she got really defensive. And I was, like, felt really bad because I was, like, oh, my God, I offended her.
I'm so sorry.
But it's okay.
Anyways. So... I review the informed consent, which is everything that's important. Like, these are the limits of confidentiality. And I tell this all verbally, right? Make sure that they understand. And the fact that, like, people don't read the informed consent. And then they're signing away their, basically, like, their privacy. I think that's a massive, like, you know, confidentiality breach to basically... not verbally let your client know.
Well, like, I'm by not the sure way, if they verbally tell them. I'm sure they do, probably.
I'd hope so. Know. But even then, I still think it's icky. I don't think you should ever... Like, we are not allowed.
The fact that people are putting people's lives for educational purposes on TikTok was shocking to me. How
it's horrible.
That can be something they can
do. Because then on top of that, like, so you can get reported to the licensing board for talking about clients in a public place. So the fact that these... therapy influencers.
So how are they getting away with it?
I don't know. That's what blows my mind. I was like, I'm gonna report these people, and then like I have to find out what state they live in, and then like what's their license, how does the licensing requirement work in that state. I'm like, this is too much work, I'm not gonna do it. And it's just like, it's a lot, but I don't know how they get away with it. So that's the other issue, that, you know, you're not safeguarding your client's information, and you're not doing it because you have what I call like a conflict of interest, right? Yeah. So when you're an influencer, you want to generate content that gets you the most followers. And like,
I guess engagement. The argument there has been, oh, famous therapists in the past that are really well known and educated and respected have used informed consent like that for former clients to use it in their books, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, this is just a continuation of that with technology today. So... I don't know how that's similar because, I'll let you talk about it. Like, what do you think about that?
When you're writing a book, you're also consulting with lawyers prior to the book getting published. And you're consulting with, like, lawyers who specialize in HIPAA. As a TikTok therapist, I don't think you are. So, you're just flying by the seat of your pants, right? Like, you're not actually consulting with lawyers. If I were to write a book about, like, experiences or about, like, an overarching theory, and that's what these, like, therapists do. They write about, like, one of my mentors is a specialized in skin picking disorders. Sorry, it's a little gross. But, you know, she, and she has a unique approach to it. And so her book, yeah, she brings up case examples, but I'm pretty sure she worked with a lawyer, made sure that she changed so much information about the case that the client is unidentifiable. And she had an overarching, like, approach to, like, okay, this is why I take this approach with this kind of diagnosis, right? What's a TikTok therapist do? What's their overarching theory aside, like, I need to get more followers and I'm going to create the
content? That's my next question, right?
Yeah.
One of these influencers, therapist influencers, she had a website and it's like, I have used my techniques, and she has only been licensed. I think she's still in supervision. That I've used my techniques to gain 4 million or whatever followers, and I have helped this many people, and I've been on this talk show and this talk show and this radio show, and it's because she has a lot of TikTok followers, right? I just feel like the goal is to gain more followers and build yourself up as a bit. I guess that is a business, like you yourself as a brand. But if your goal is to get more followers and get more views, wouldn't you? I don't understand how that makes you an ethical therapist, in a sense that aren't you like, you're distracted, that you're like, oh, there's a good part for like a TikTok video, or
there's a conflict of interest right there, because now I'm like, oh my god, I don't like, I have different priorities, and when that happens and we can't resolve the conflict of interest, I have to terminate services with you, because I'm compromised. I don't have your best interest at heart anymore.
That's what I'm saying, best interest, right? Like, are you really, I mean, I'm not one to say, because I'm not in the room or I'm not like a therapist, but is it really, I feel like as a client, I would feel like, I don't know if this TikTok therapist influencer has my best interest or her best interest. That what I'm telling her makes her a quote unquote better therapist, so she can share it online and gain more followers. Or does she actually care about this work here in this room? And she won't tell anyone.
You know? If you are just going to try to go viral and influence people, you're going to do what's sexy. And what's sexy isn't always what's right. Like that person that's diagnosing the Kardashians, you might compromise your ethics to get more views, right? Maybe there's a part in session, a conversation that's like very salacious, and you're like, oh, I'm going to make a TikTok video out of this. Are you doing it because it's educational, or because it's salacious and you know it's going to get you views? Right. So I think there's an inherent conflict of interest.
Oof, that's kind of scary.
I know.
From a client perspective, right? Yeah. Like, and I mean, the whole mental health awareness thing is, there's, again, there's a flip side to it, right? There's not access to mental health easily around the world. Like, it doesn't matter where you live. And people really yearn for, like, I need help. And I think in the past there has been, even, like I said, even celebrities talking about their mental health. Like, when I was younger, it helped me be like, oh, like, you know, this person goes through this, or Selena Gomez is bipolar, you know, and that normalized that. And like,
it's destigmatizing.
Someone as like beautiful and successful and amazing as Selena Gomez, she's has bipolar disorder, and she's like talked about it. And so I think it helps people not feel alone, and there is a good side of sharing mental health on the internet, and even having like watching TED Talks of somebody is professional, or reading their books and whatever, right? And then not just the idea of going to like therapy and paying for it if you can't afford it. There's resources now, and that is really helpful. And it's, and you can see like, there are certain mental health problems that have been destigmatized. People talk about their depression all the time, or their anxiety, right? And that that is because people were like talking about it on the internet. But now I think therapy speak has gone too far, in my opinion. Whereas like, people who don't even know what they're talking about, they're calling people toxic, or they're calling people narcissistic, or, and a lot of them, it comes from a self-serving agenda. Self-righteous, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't know. It, in a way, it's not, it's unkind. And mm-hmm. which is so funny because it's supposed to be like the kind way to do things, but it's like unkind because you're like, oh, they don't meet my beliefs of what I think you should be acting like. So I'm gonna quote unquote diagnose you with something that you're toxic or narcissistic. Maybe you guys have cultural differences. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have, like, there's so many other things, right? There's, like, maybe you grew up in a white neighborhood and they're talking to each other was a lot different than somebody who's migrated from somewhere mm-hmm. and they talk completely different and you think they're toxic because they're still live with their parents or they're, like, what's it called? Codependent, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's another one.
Oh, that's another word, right? Like, people's favorite. They're codependent. You know my family. My family's huge, yeah. right? And that's just how we cater towards each other. And it doesn't mean we're codependent. It's just a sign of respect and community. Mm-hmm. And I think America has individuality that we don't have yeah. the same way. And but they don't understand that it's not codependence. It's just how things are. It's community. It's cultural.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to be like, I don't know. It's just like weird, right? Like mm-hmm. when you don't have the knowledge of that and you see terms. And even when you're in therapy and you learn these terms, you have to understand that when you're in therapy, the whole point of your therapist does not share anything of themselves with you, right?
But you're not bringing your own problems, right? Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not bringing yourself as a full person. You're not bringing yourself like, oh, I've also had a bad day. And then people like that go for therapy maybe once or twice. They're like, well, my therapist listens to me and tells me, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then they have that same expectations out of you.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, kind of feel like they go in therapy, they just talk about themselves. And the therapist is not coming, like, oh, yeah, my husband and I had a fight today. Oh, yeah, this and that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, if somebody else in their life does that, they're like, oh, my God, like, I just think I don't, our season of friendship is too much for me right now, you know? So for our outro, you're going to tell us how to break up. No, you're not.
I can.
Okay, you want to.
I can.
Go ahead.
Okay, one. Slow fade.
Yeah.
Don't be as responsive.
I like ghosting, though.
Ghosting is cruel. Especially when you've been friends with someone for a long time.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Just slow fade.
Okay.
You know, remove yourself from the group chat. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't come right now. Sorry, right? Like, be flaky, put some distance, right? Or if you want to be direct, which I have, right? And at the end of the day, my goal wasn't really to salvage the friendship. It was to be like, this is a major issue for me, and I don't want to be your friend anymore.
And what do you say for people that use therapy speak on the regular? But that they don't know anything about therapy.
This is really good advice that I got from a physician that I used to work with, and it works so well. So one is, if people are using jargony like words and therapy speak, just say, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? I don't understand. What are you saying? And you just keep saying that over and over.
That
and
actually
over
does
again.
Work. I've done that. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because I actually don't. Literally don't. And also, like, English is not my first language. So I'm like, when you guys use this kind of terms, I have no idea. Can you say it in, like, literal things?
I've done that in meetings. So like, there was like, all these therapists on the team.
I don't want to be your friend because I fucking hate you. And that makes so much sense to me. Instead
of saying, you're a crappy friend and I don't want to be friends with you anymore.
I don't like you.
Like, that's it. If you want to send me some of your favorite therapy speak sentences or words, please email them at amateurpopcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We post Atia's TikToks and I attempt to make reels. So no therapy speak there. So go ahead and follow us at amateur_popcast on Instagram.